News Talk's Executive Chair. Thanks to SunGard Availability Services, global leaders in disaster recovery and business continuity. IT for business that never stops.
Now, one of the largest summer events in the country will soon take place when the Dublin Horse Show begins on the 9th of August, with 1,600 horses there and 100,000 people attending. I'm delighted to say my guest and the executive chair this week is Michael Duffy, is the CEO of the RDS. Michael, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
Now, this is a busy time of year for you, and we'll come to all of that in a second. But I want to just, as we always do in this slot, Michael, maybe just get a sense of the man, Michael Duffy. You're a Dublin man, but you've got grandparents from the four counties of Ireland. Is that correct?
Tell us a little bit about Ireland. That's
tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my degree was in physics in UCD. And I had the pleasure of working as a research physicist in the UK at a time when it was quite difficult at employment here. That was in the mid to late 70s. And after that, I came back to Ireland and Letterkenny. Courthouse had just opened a big plant up in Letterkenny. I worked there as a technical manager, and then I joined the IDA.
Right.
And that was a time in 1981 when the country was going through a really difficult economic period. And I was fortunate, I didn't realize it at the time, but I was fortunate that I joined the rescue and restructuring sector, working with companies that were in trouble. So I spent 3 years looking at balance sheets, cash flows, P&Ls. And for a technical person, that was actually very, very beneficial.
With a background as a physicist,
yeah,
that was kind of an interesting place to end up, was it not?
I was really fortunate because not only you get a good training in finance, but also you're working with companies who are in trouble.
Yeah.
So you get to work with people who, even though the track record, even though all the history would suggest otherwise, they would be internal optimists that tomorrow was going to be different. So it was a really great grounding. After that, I moved into pharmaceuticals. I ran the overseas electronics area for a while. I ended up then running the food division within the IDA.
Did that come about as your contacts with the IDA, you know, the fact that it was kind of a government agency of sorts, or
no,
did that help that you'd worked there? Like the CEO of Board B, the first chief executive of Board B, the Irish Food Board, who's a physicist?
Yeah, I think one of the great things about the IDA was you got a really strong training. I mean, I worked with McKinsey in a whole strategic planning program that the IDA had. I was exposed to finance. I was exposed to marketing. So it was a great training ground. And I guess when the government decided to establish Board B, my food experience and my general business experience was quite appropriate at the time. So I ended up doing really a terrific experience establishing an agency in the public sector, and great team of people, great knowledge and experience. Ended up working with the food industry, the farming community and international markets. And during that time, there were two BSE crises and one foot and mouth crisis. So it was a really, really busy time.
So would you describe yourself as a good crisis manager then?
I've been involved in a crisis, that's for sure. And the things you learn there is move quickly. You can't move quickly enough in a crisis.
Just grab it and go.
Grab it and go.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the RDS. Again, it's an institution that's been with us since 1731, in their current premises since 1881.
That's right.
Like, how do you... An organisation such as that with 3,500 members, the business of keeping it relevant, the business of adapting to all the change that we've seen, Michael, even if you take the conference business, how that's evolved, the hotel room scenario, the rugby, the horses, the spring show that was, like time it is a changing. And it must be difficult to keep pace with change in a bricks and mortar scenario in D4.
Yeah. Well, I think the RDS is a really interesting place because the first thing is about change is people understanding what the RDS is about. We get about 1.6 million people through the doors over the course of 12 months. They're there for a whole variety of reasons. The horse show, the rugby, as you say, exhibitions, conferences. But that actually isn't what the RDS is about. It's not why it was founded. It was founded to actually give back. And we always say the RDS is more of an idea than a location. So it's very much about giving back. And we have programs. This year we're going to spend about 2.25 million in programs in agriculture, arts, industries, and science. And they're philanthropic programs. They're not commercial programs. That's what the RDS does. It gives back.
So is the idea of generating all this income then around the horse show and around the rugby and around the other events to channel that income then to
exactly
philanthropic
exactly
causes? That's
exactly
that's the ultimate aim
That's
of the society.
We're known as an event centre. You know, I was talking to some business final year students in Trinity there recently, and their image of the RDS is exams. That's their experience, exams and concerts. We're known as an event centre. We do over 300 different events a year, ranging from everything to major exhibitions to meetings. So people can see the RDS as an event centre, but that is an activity that we engage in, and it's worth about 600 million a year to the economy. But the reason we do it is to provide finance to support the philanthropic activities.
Are you missing Paddy Cosgrave and his web summit?
We're looking forward to having MoneyConf back again next June.
So no bridges burned there then?
No, look, no. And you know, the laws of physics in Lisbon are the same as the law of physics in Dublin. So, you know,
everybody knows Paddy, that. You're welcome back if you're listening. Michael Duffy'd love to have you back at the RDS.
Well, he is back. He's back next
good.
June.
Good. Now, tell me about the horse show. And again, let's go back and look at the history of it. The sense of occasion, the sense of glamour, the sense of all this equine great stuff. Is it as relevant now in the city, Michael, as it would have been 20, 30 years ago?
I would say more so than ever. I mean, this year is the 144th horse show. It started in 1868. An event like that doesn't last without it constantly adapting. And I think there's probably three components in that. One is that an awful lot of hard work by voluntary people, because there's a huge voluntary engagement in stewarding and judging and so forth in the show. So all that hard work. But really, over the years, the second thing we've done is we've constantly changed the equestrian program. The horse show, when you talk about the horse show, there are three horse shows. There's the international ones, there's the national show jumping, and there's a showing. And we've made probably 35 to 40 changes in the program over the last number of years to make sure it's as relevant as possible. And we've also then invested in facilities. We've broadened the entertainment program. That's really what we've tried to do, is to make sure it stays relevant as an entertainment, as a contribution to the equestrian industry, because we don't do it for any profit. It's not a commercial enterprise for us. It started to support the breeder and producer of the Irish sport horse. And, you know, one of the things, your questions you were asking there, the RDS has stayed true to its mission. And really, you know, what we look at and what we try to do now in 2017 is the same as 1731. What is it that we can do that can make a difference?
Now, the event itself costs about $4.5 million to put on, which is a significant cost. Of the 100,000 people that are there, how many of them couldn't care if they never saw a horse?
It's an interesting question, because we've got 1,600 horses there, so they're going to see a horse, that's for sure. It's a really good question, because our whole communication approach and strategy has been to get to people whose first love isn't horses.
Yeah.
Who they just want to come out and have a family day, or with their friends, or with their partner, whatever. So we have a very deliberate communication strategy to attract those. I would say probably something like 40% is equestrian, 60% is non-equestrian.
Did you ever meet Bruce Springsteen?
I did, yes, indeed.
What was he like?
Very charming, very gracious. It probably helped that his daughter did very well in the competition at the time. But he is a big fan of the horse show. He's a big fan of the RDS. So he's a very gracious character.
What about the spring show? And again, I'm bringing you back years before you ever took up the position. But that, again, was an iconic event, probably displaced in some ways by the ploughing, maybe. Would I be right to say that?
Well,
that
I'm not sure which is the chicken and which is the egg there.
Yeah.
The spring show, we stopped that over 20 years ago. And certainly the landscape. And we looked at it. We actually did a feasibility study there a few years ago to look at, should we bring back but we looked at them. We looked at the landscape of agricultural shows, and we decided there really wasn't a gap there, and there was no point in doing it. So our focus has been on the horse show, and you know, we spend a lot of money on that. We have to generate a lot of sponsorship. We give it a lot of prize money of €1 million. So that's really where we're going to.
Okay,
keep our focus.
And last question then: the future of rugby at the RDS.
Yes.
Just walk me down a couple of years out from now. Okay. Is it going to be the epicenter of Leinster rugby?
Yes, I mean, the RDS is the home of Leinster rugby. It's been terrifically successful for them. It goes down very well with the fans. We have a major development plan, we're waiting to hear if we can get government funding for it. And like everything, Bobby, it comes back to money.
Okay. Well, listen, keep doing what you're doing out there. It's a very diverse operation. It is the Royal Dublin Society. It does have 3,500 members, and it's around since 1731. Michael Duffy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Bobby.
News Talk's Executive Chair. Thanks to SunGard Availability Services, global leaders in disaster recovery and business continuity. IT for business that never stops.